you are the salt of the earth. Now, Jesus is sitting and teaching, and he's looking at the people. Could have been hundreds. It was more than just the 12. It was people. And he says, people, you are the salt of the earth. Now, he didn't look at them and say, you might be the salt, or you could be the salt of the earth, or maybe one day you'll be the salt of the earth. He looks at each and every one of them. Now, if that, let's say there, just for instance, because we don't know, there was a multitude of people. So for instance, let's say there was 300 or 400 or 500 people there, 300. And he looks, and you know, let's say out of 300 people, that there's probably things in everybody's life there that wasn't so good. Come on, you know, that's just how it is. And he looks at them, you know, and they're listening to every word he's saying, because he just preached to them by the Beatitudes. And they're saying, man, wow, this is great. Blessed. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek. Blessed. I mean, just come on. Happy, happy. Then he, as he's sitting there, he looks at them and he says, people, you are the salt of the earth. And they look at him and they're thinking, moi? Me? No. They probably was thinking, some of them way in the back thinking, Jesus, you have it wrong. Jesus, you have it wrong. I think you made a mistake right here. We're not the salt of the earth. Maybe those other guys out there that are the ones that are the hierarchy and the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the all those people, the religious people, maybe they're the salt of the earth. But not me. But we know this, what God sees and what man sees is totally different. Most of the time. And Jesus looks at them and says, people, you are the salt of the earth. And we know this. We don't, a little bit today, but not like what it was years ago. We know salt is a what? Preservative. We know for the most one part of it. It preserves things. He's saying, church or people, you are the salt of the earth. You are the preservative of the earth. What? We know that salt is something that is put in food to give flavor. Amen. Thank God. Have you ever sat down and you put you some rice? Now, some have to, and you find out there's no salt in it, cooked rice. For me personally, it's like, oh, because we get so used to it, that preservative that's in it. Now, I know for certain reasons, you know, because sometimes we eat too much of it, that we have to cut down a lot on it, okay? But have you ever gone to Piccadilly and you sit down and you've gotten some macaroni and cheese and you take the first bite? You want to, there's no salt in it. No salt. And so what you try to do is you take the salt that's on the table and you put it on there trying to mix it up, and you add more and you kind of, it adds a little bit of flavor, but it's not, doesn't taste the same. It's not like adding salt to the boiling water before the noodles get in. They take on that flavor of that salt, you know. Just the flavor of it. We are the preservative of the earth. We are the salt of the earth. Look. But if the salt has lost its savor, Wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. When Jesus was talking to these people, he was basically talking to uneducated disciples, people, and referred to them as the salt of the earth. What people thought of these people that followed Jesus was they're nothing. That's the uneducated. That's the ones that they'll fall for anything. But God called them the salt of the earth. We don't realize how important, the world doesn't realize, and I can understand that, how important we are as the church of the living God upon the earth. And what's more sad is that we don't realize how important we are to the earth. That we are the preservative. We are the ones that stand for truth and right. We're the ones that have the salt. We're the salt of the earth. We're the one that preserves things. And a preservative stops the decay. Well, years ago, before there was refrigerators or freezers that we could put stuff in and all that stuff, from what I understood, they would take meat and they'd put a lot of salt on it. Is that right? Then they'd put it in jars and maybe they'd fill it up with lard or something. Is that right? That's, yeah. From what I'm understanding. And they'd seal it and they'd, a lot of them, from what I understood, would put it underneath their homes, dig a hole underneath, because it was cool there, and put it underneath and then fill it back up. And you would just hope that a dog wouldn't come and dig it up or whatever else. No. And so they did that to preserve it. That salt would preserve things. Jesus says we are the salt of the earth. We preserve righteousness upon the earth. But if we lose our saltiness, if we lose our effectiveness, what happens to the earth? If there is no standard of righteousness, if we lose who we are, if there's no standard of righteousness, then the world will go to all kinds of things and will look to all kinds of things. You look in the church today, looking at certain statistics, and I'm not talking about born again, but they just lump all Christians together, okay? That means anybody in a Christian, if you want to say church, they put everybody together. So when we look at it, it's not so much born again Christians, it's just Christians. They call themselves Christians. But we know there's a big difference, a vast difference from a born again Christian and one that has never given their heart to the Lord but just professes Christ. They say that the church is no different in divorce rate in the church or out of the church. It's about the same, 50%. That's interesting. They say, you know, statistics that somebody that's not in church, a young girl that gets pregnant out of wedlock, is the same number as a girl, young girl in the church that gets pregnant without being married. It's the same. Not good. Not good. All the numbers are the same. What I'm saying is this, and I can name all kinds of stuff. I mean, you know, there's all kinds of things. But all the numbers are the same, which means that we're not affecting the world. statistically, we are the same in numbers. The world standards, the Christian or church standards are the same as far as we know of. Now, like I said earlier, we know there's a difference between a true Christian and one that just goes to church and they claim they're Christians, okay? But all the numbers are the same. Now, that you know, before you get upset about divorce and all this stuff, I know God does allow divorce for certain reasons, okay? I mean, there are certain reasons, and, you know, whatever. But what I'm saying is the standard is the same. If we are the preservative, we are the ones that are supposed to be the light of the world. We're the one that's supposed to get out there and share what we have, and hopefully people would desire it and want it. But if we're at the same level as them, they're not going to change and desire God. At all. At all. And the world sees it. But you see, and I know they lump whoever says they're a Christian, they lump it all together. Lump it all together. Let me give you an example. I don't know how you feel about gambling, but I think it's wrong. Honestly, I'll tell you, it's sinful. Don't spend your money on junk like that. Don't gamble. Don't gamble. And I know, hey, every one of us, when I was growing up, my God, at my grandmother's house, they had the card games. I mean, they had the card games. I know it. We would sit there, kind of look, and go play outside. Okay. Every night, I mean, everybody brought their change, and, man, they played bourree and more. And look, I knew when I saw people coming, walking, or driving up, and they took the sheet out, it had to be brand new. It had to be white, and it had to be brand new. I don't know why, but from what I understood, they wanted the crisp of the sheet, that it would slide, those cards would slide. Man, they had certain, and they do those cards and tap it like that, and, you know, whatever. But there has to be a difference. I'm going to get back to the other story about gambling. But there has to be a difference. You know, football season is here, and there's all kinds of things that are happening, especially, we know, at work. You know, everybody's betting on their Saints or betting on Dallas or betting on whatever. You know, everybody. And so here I am at work, you know, and we're gathering at break, and you know, somebody says, yeah, you know, okay, everybody, $10 for the games this week. And so they said, okay, yeah, $10. I said, well, Joe, I said, oh, no. And so one of the girls said, well, you don't gamble. I said, no, I don't. I work too hard. I work too hard. Now, somebody's going to win all this money. It'll be $100. Like somebody said, I need some new shoes, so I want to win. And I thought, well, just let God give you the new shoes. My God, give you the money. You know, why spend all that stuff? But what's sad is, and I didn't say nothing, that I found out, he's a Christian. I know he is. He loves the Lord, but he's playing that stuff at work. Because I heard one of them saying, the other guy's named Joe, too. They said, well, Joe's playing, and my heart grieved. Because you see, they were delighting in what he was doing. And I hope one day God gives me the opportunity. Condemning, I don't do that. Stand for truth and right. But just say, hey, man, come on. Let's lift up the standard. And I know people can get riled up with money. But everything boils down to the love of money, people. The love of money. That's why companies will hurt people and will lay off people like nothing just to make sure the hierarchy gets their money. I mean, it's just love. The love of money is the root of all evil. God knew what to put in his word because it's truth. But we as a church, we as individual lives, people, we have to lift up the standard of being that light to the world. Now you might say, well, Pastor, I've made some mistakes. Hey, let me tell you, look, who hasn't? Who hasn't? Who hasn't? If Jesus can be very merciful to his disciples, like Peter, how much more can we be very merciful to a repentant brother or sister in the Lord? Praise God. And bring them back into full relationship. And I know everybody has made some mistakes, but people, we need to learn from those mistakes and never do them again. We need to be that preservative, because you know why? We can lose it. We can lose it. We have churches that are full of people that live like the devil after Sunday morning. It's true. I mean, they will cheat on their taxes. Miss Gail? No. Miss Gail does tax. Everybody knows that. She does taxes. And you know, I've asked her to kind of, no. I'm messing with y'all, you see, you know. But no. Huh? You would do it? Yeah, you see. No. No. But to be honest, that doesn't mean we agree with everything. But to be honest, to stand for what is right in truth. But people, we have to live a righteous life. Righteous before him. And when we start to get into a path where we're not maybe telling the truth, not living maybe the way we should, and we know it. That's the difference between knowing something's right and not knowing. There's a difference. But when we know from the Word of God what is right to do, and we don't do it, the Holy Spirit works on us. And let me tell you, He works, and He works till we get that thing right. We have to remember, we are the preservative for the earth. We are the representatives of our Savior God. And when it loses its preservativeness, loses its effectiveness, then what happens? Can you imagine when Jesus comes and the church is taken out, the rapture of the church and taken out, for the most part, is basically the church. You might say, well, there are some that are going to say, yes, there are some that may stay. They knew the truth. But they backslid or did whatever and didn't live for him. But can you imagine when all that light is taken out? That's why the devil, the Antichrist, cannot come on the scene yet. Because the light is still here. The preservative of the salt is still here. So his effectiveness cannot be full blown upon the earth yet. But God will not allow it till the church itself, the body of believers, is taken out. You see how much, and I'll say it this way, you see how much power we hold and we don't realize it? In us, because of the God in us, and I have to watch how I use power there, how much God is looking at us, that we are the preservative, that we set the standard. You want to know how we can get to a place as a country where we allow gay marriage? You might say, well, man, just 10 years ago, my God, if my grandparents were alive today, Lord have mercy. Or your parents that maybe have been deceased, have died. If they would know of certain things that have happened. But when the preservative of the effectiveness of that salt is depleted, well, then the world does what they think is right in their own eyes. And because the church for the last 30, 40 years has not stood up and been the light and said that is wrong. That is sinful. That will lead you to a place that is not good. And we know what it's called, hell. and standing up in love towards them. Because we love them, we're willing to tell them the truth. Because of the loss of that effectiveness of the salt upon the earth, all things are almost allowed now. Do you think that law that was passed will help our country? Man, there's no way possible. Because sin always destroys. Always. Nothing good, there isn't anything good that comes out of sin at all. Nothing good. We know it for ourselves. When we sin, what happens? We are just, oh my Lord. And what we do is, I mean, do you feel good? No, I know, I don't. No, we don't. Because we want our relationship to the Lord to be right. And what do? Sometimes we run a little bit, and then we come back. But what we do, we go to Him and we ask forgiveness. And we say, Lord, forgive me. I go through the blood of Jesus. And the blood of Jesus comes in and cleanses our heart and soul. We are the preservative of the earth, people. You. Your standard of living, what you stand for, what is right according to the Word of God, that is the preservative, the salt of the earth. Now, years ago, I know back then we talked about how they had to use salt to preserve their meat and all this stuff. But back then, when Jesus was talking about salt, it wasn't so readily available as we have it today. I mean, they didn't have salt in every store laying around. It wasn't there. It just wasn't available. And what they would do is they would go basically the Dead Sea. Everybody heard about the Dead Sea? The high concentration of salt that is in the Dead Sea. And the reason is because everything flows in, but nothing flows out. It's a sea where everything flows into it, but nothing flows out. So the high potency, if you want to say it that way, the high concentration of salt is there, and it rifts upon the shores of the Dead Sea. And what they do is, back then, to get their salt, they would go and gather all the stuff that went from the sides of the sea, which had other minerals in it. So they would try to sift through it and get the salt away from all the other minerals that were in it. All the trash stuff. And so that's why he was talking about how it loses its potency, or it loses its savior. It loses it because it could be lost very quickly as it was combined with other things. Now today we have pure salt. We don't have to worry about that. We go to the store and we buy Martin salt or whatever in a little box, you know. It's pure. We don't have to worry about that. There's nothing else in it. And so it doesn't lose its potency like it did years ago because it was mixed with all kinds of stuff. We have other people that are working and taking care of all that stuff for us. We are the salt of the earth. We got to remember, we are here to bring pleasure to our God, and we are here to lift up the standard of righteousness upon the earth. We got to stand for what is right continuously. 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 You know what's the sad thing? Most Christians in church, Christianity around the world, in America, think it's okay to drink. And when I say drink, I mean drink alcohol. How can any, if you want to say born again Christian, think it's okay? When alcohol has been the number one cause of women being abused, how is that okay? That how many people we hear of weekend after weekend, kids that have been killed because they've drank alcohol. And now in the church, when I say the church, I just mean the whole kit and caboodle, have their parties and come in and drink their wine and do all that stuff. My God! And for the most part, think it's okay. And I can tell you why they think it's okay. Because it has not been preached from this pulpit or any pulpit in that church saying it's wrong, it's wrong, it'll lead to destruction. That we need to stand for truth and say it's not right. I'm not talking about, you know, set rules that we have to follow. That becomes religious. But we know according to the word of God that it cannot be right. You might say, well, the first miracle that Jesus performed was turning water into wine. And boy, I want to look at them, and I can't say what I really want to say. Because, you know, you just can't. You know. And so you try to explain to them about the wine that he turned it into. The difference. It wasn't an alcoholic wine there. You can look at it. Look at the old manuscripts. You can look at that, how it was written. That it wasn't that. Jesus would never exalt something that would bring destruction to men, women, children, families. There's no way possible. No way possible. You might say, well, you know, we just need to stand for truth, people. Stand. You're the salt. You're the light. We are the light and the salt. And if we don't stand for what's right, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? We have as many people out there as in the local churches, men and women that are living together, and there's no difference. Now, I'm not talking about people that come into the church and get saved and they've been living together and they get things right. No, just in the church. The same as out in the world. My God, there has to be a difference. A difference that it's wrong to stand up. We are the light, people. Say, no, that is not right. And let me tell you, oh, Lord, when you say that is not right, it's like all hell wants to break loose. But all you did was stand up for what Jesus said was right. And I know, people, it can be hard at times. I know it. To stand up there, and when you're going one way and everybody else is going another way. But always remember this. You are standing up for God. And they will say all kinds of things. Old fogey, old this, and you old stand. But let me tell you, is the Bible standards that has made this country great. Because it wasn't built on any other standard but the Christianity and the Word of God. Much Bible, much freedom. And people, we need to lift up the Word of God as a standard. And asking God for mercy and grace upon this country and upon our areas, people. We have to lift it up as a standard and saying this is right, but this is wrong. This is right, but this is wrong. Because you see, the world will glorify the things of evil. They will glorify it. They will glorify it. I didn't personally hear this, but Jelaine was listening to Francis and Friends, and they were talking about gay marriage and all this stuff. And I don't know if somebody called in or if it was a panel guest on there. But they were talking about children that grew up in a gay marriages or gay couples. It wasn't marriage maybe back then, but couples. And how they missed. These were women. So the women talked about how they missed having a father. And these women grew up, I don't know how many they were, but these women grew up in these homes and are now married, have children of their own. But they talked about how they missed having a father. See, God knows what's best. God knows, if you want to say a perfect family, okay. Sometimes things go awry, whatever. But a perfect family, if you want to put it that way, a father, a mother. And certain circumstances may not have a father at home, but that's the perfect scenario. God knew what to do. God knew what to do. And sometimes there are things that happen that can't have that perfect scenario. I know I was in that situation. I know about that. But the perfect scenario is to have that father figure, to have that mother figure there so those children can grow up with the Word of God and being effective. We have to do and stand for what's right, people. We don't want to lose who we are and the God standards. That's why it's so important for us to take that word daily, people, and to read it so we know it. So we know the Word of God and get it into our hearts and get it into our spirits. And, you know, I know many of you, you know, as far as I've heard stories, and I want to thank you for standing up for what's right. I know sometimes it may be hard at work. It may be hard at parties. It may be hard at certain family members. It may be hard at family gatherings. Holidays are coming up, you know. But to stand up for what is right continuously. Not that we stay away from certain as far as being with family, you know, and that's up to you, however you want to do your family. But I mean, to have that standard of righteousness and to do what is right. Because you see, we don't represent ourselves. We represent our God. And these people are looking for a difference in us. They're looking. They're looking for a difference. Stand up for truth. Let the salt of the earth be effective. Be the salt that you put in the water that makes macaroni and cheese very good. Or rice very good. Rice. Rice. Or any other food. Be that salt. Be that salt of effectiveness upon the earth. And I know you've had to stand for truth, and sometimes it was hard. I know it. But you keep standing and saying, Lord, I will do what your word says. And let me tell you, you might say, Pastor, what if I fail? This is what you do. You get alone with God and you ask him to forgive you. See, Peter failed. What did God do with Peter? Jesus didn't throw him away. And you know, Jesus could have found another disciple. He could have found someone else. But he didn't. God will continue to work in our lives. And it says that when Peter and God got eye contact, the love of the Father shone to Peter. And what Jesus was saying is, you're forgiven. And look what Peter did. I mean, my God, the great exploits of Peter from that day forward. So don't give up. Stand up for truth, do what is right, and live according to what the Word says that you know of. Amen. God bless you. You may stand, please.